Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker. I'm Robin and today I'm joined by Alex.
Hello there, Robin. How's it going?
Fine, thank you, Alex. And Martin.
Hey, how's it going too, I guess?
All right, thanks.
See, that's what happens when I get introduced first.
It all goes wrong. Well, thanks for covering me for last week. I was away on a jolly jaunt.
Nice. Did you get up to anything good?
It was a working holiday, actually, so... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was productive, but... Not so relaxing.
I see.
But it's fine. It was sad though. I missed being here.
In terms of
chatting to you guys.
Yeah. In terms of working, can you disclose or is it?
It's all secret projects.
It's all secret. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Well, I mean, sometimes you need to change your IP address just to do the research that we do. So that was the main thing. I was flitting about, you know, with a VPN. Anyway. today, as always, we'll be discussing, hopefully in depth, some items in the news. This week, we're going to be a bit more current than usual. Not looking too far into the past, because there's lots of exciting things that are happening right now, and mysteries that are unfolding right now. But I'll be looking at recent developments with a rather intriguing mystery surrounding the cryptocurrency company in Canada called Quadriga CX. And Alex, you'll be looking at...
So today I want to look at a website, and you can check this out yourself at home. It's just a really creepy website, and it's kind of stuck with me. It's called This Person Does Not Exist.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's kind of about a broader discussion about AI and deep fakes and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what the future holds in that regard. Like, you know, are we going to be entering... an age where images and video no longer definitely means proof of something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does raise definitely some concerns for legal challenges, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So I want to get into that discussion.
It sounds fascinating. And as always, we'll be ending this week on a quiz, which Martin has kindly prepared for us.
Yes. Yeah. I have a quiz. And also I do have a story for our Patreon subscribers as well. So after this, we're going to record a little extra episode. So if you aren't one of our patrons already, you can always head over there. And I think it's for a dollar a month or something. You can get access to this particular feed. And today we'll be discussing the conflict between India and Pakistan and the ongoing issues there.
It feels like it came out of nowhere. So interested to talk about that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
I also just want to say an extra thanks to Martin today for fighting through his illness to prepare a quiz and be here.
That about sums it up. Here and pleased to be here. Just a bit clogged in the nasal area, really.
Yeah.
So.
If I slowly start backing away from you during the episode,
please do. Yeah.
No, that's fine.
All right then. Well, I really want to know your fellas' opinions on the affair surrounding Quadriga CX. Have you heard about it?
To be honest, I haven't really heard much about this. Yeah. I'm excited to find out more.
I think for the sake of our viewership, of course. a bit of background would be great.
Well, I know about it, but I don't think Martin knows about it.
No, I know all about it, but you know, some people might not. So,
I mean, I think I'm saying the name correctly. It's Quadriga CX or Quadriga CX. I'm not entirely sure how you're supposed to say it, but it's a Canada-based cryptocurrency company. As you know, cryptocurrency is a digital, non-government regulated currencies that people can use online and can even buy as if it's some kind of commodity. And usually one crypto coin in any currency has an equal value in US dollars. I'm not sure what particular cryptocurrencies they dealt with at Quadriga CX, but the interesting thing that's happened to them has all really developed in the last couple of months, because their CEO was a man called Gerald Cotton, a Canadian-Panamanian citizen. And on December the 9th last year, 2018, he died unexpectedly in India. From complications to do with Crohn's disease, and he was only 30 years old. Now, normally this is a tragedy, obviously. A 30-year-old man cut down and he was the CEO of a very successful cryptocurrency company. But to be honest, it would just be shrugged off as a bit of a tragedy and wouldn't really make the news. But it's stayed in the news for the last few months, because it turned out, not long after his death, that clients, investors in Quadriga CX, threatened to, and have since carried out, legal action against the company, because 115,000 investors and clients, account holders with Quadriga CX, have not been able to withdraw their funds from the company since he died. And the total amount that they are unable to access is somewhere in the region of $137 to $145 million.
Wow.
And this is money the company still has, but is unable to give to its investors and account holders, because, according to the company, as you know, cryptocurrencies are held in digital wallets. You have your money and you keep it in a wallet online, but there is something called a cold wallet, which has been developed to prevent hacking of cryptocurrency wallets. And a cold wallet is simply a cryptocurrency wallet, but it's offline. So it's held locally on a computer.
Right, okay.
And for security reasons, Gerald Cotton, the CEO of Quadriga CX, put 115,000 accounts into cold wallets on his personal hard drive.
That doesn't sound like a great idea.
Well, it turns out that he was the only person with access to his computer. And his company claims that they have been trying and failing so far to get hacking experts to get into his computer since he died on December the 9th.
Wow.
So the idea with the cold wallets is it to disperse where the cryptocurrency is held for security reasons?
Yes, it's entirely for security reasons. The cold wallet exists purely to keep your money offline, so the hackers can't get into it, basically, because if it's offline, they have no way of getting in because it's a local file.
It's mad when you think about it, isn't it? Because this is essentially like a bank vault, like a real bank
vault.
And inside the bank vault is $150 million.
Yeah.
And the person with the key to the vault or the passcode has died.
Yeah.
And there's no way into it. It's mad, isn't it? It's actually like, and it's just on a computer server.
It's actually on.
It's kind of like it's analog, but almost in how in how simple it is. But yeah, that's so a bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I take it people are annoyed because they can't release their funds, and of course, cryptocurrencies fluctuate quite a lot, don't they?
They do. Yeah.
So people trying to make money off cryptocurrencies surely benefit when it shoots up.
Yes.
Take the money out, then reinvest when there's an inevitable drop because it's so up and down.
Precisely. Yeah, so the people are frustrated that for months now they haven't been able to access their own money, essentially.
Yeah.
And, of course, when the CEO of a company dies, that does affect the value of the currencies held by that company. But the mystery deepens. He died on December the 9th, 2018, and it was soon revealed that he drew up his will on November the 27th. Now, some people are suspicious of this coincidence that he should die so soon after drawing up his will, particularly because he died from complications related to Crohn's disease. And statistically speaking, Crohn's disease is only fatal in 3% of cases.
Right.
I mean, was his particularly severe, or did he have any idea that his condition was worsening?
There are no details on what the complications were.
Okay.
It's unclear what was going on. The only way to explain it would be that he wasn't receiving proper medical treatment for his Crohn's disease, and he was in India at the time. So it's quite possible that whatever he suffered when he was out there, some kind of attack or something, he didn't have the proper treatment because the Indian doctors didn't know what he had and weren't able to provide the proper medical care.
That's interesting. Still, though, sounds a bit fishy to me.
Well, also, but someone who's a CEO of a cryptocurrency company, and we know that cryptocurrencies have... Well, boom and bust, really, but they boomed around, what was it, December 2017, is that right? December, November 2017.
Very recently, yeah.
So you'd think that he's obviously made a lot of money, even though they've dropped off a bit over the last few years, he'd have access to the best of the best medical care, regardless of where he was.
You would think so, and you would expect him to have the best health insurance ever.
Mm.
Given how wealthy he was.
And having Crohn's disease. You'd be like, well, I'm definitely going to cover myself there.
Yeah, exactly. So people are suspicious of this fact. People are even more suspicious that when he died, his widow Jennifer Robertson, took over the company.
Okay.
And the reason I'm talking about this now is because yesterday she stepped back and asked the Canadian government to allow someone else to take over the company because she claims that she cannot cope with the false claims being made that she helped her husband fake his own death.
Wow.
Okay. In order to abscond with this money.
Wow. I mean, in fairness, like, we're kind of approaching this in like, oh, this is shady and stuff so far. Mm-hmm. But actually, if he hasn't faked his death and this was all just a kind of series of unlikely events, then I do feel terrible for her.
Like, yeah, it's she's in the, if he has actually properly died, then she must be dealing with a lot of difficulties right now to suddenly take over a company run by her husband in the wake of his death. You must be dealing with grief and stress at the same time whilst all your clients are suing you for their money.
Talk about a stressful situation right there. Sounds horrendous.
Well, it turns out that in the past week, news has emerged that Poland, this might sound unconnected, but Poland, early in 2018, raided an unspecified Canadian-based cryptocurrency company and seized €400 million worth of cryptocurrency from that company on suspicion that it was laundered drug money.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. And given they haven't named who the CEO of the company was and they haven't said what the company was, but they've said where its office was based and they've said that the CEO was Panamanian Canadian.
Wow.
So it's that kind of obvious.
Limits it, kind of
narrows it down to who it was. Obviously, cryptocurrencies are popular on the dark web and in the criminal world because they're untraceable. They provide true anonymity, so there is lots of suspicion and lots of practice and proven laundering and criminal activity carried out with cryptocurrencies. So it's not a huge surprise that there's some kind of thing. But at the same time, and separately to this, Canadian banks, which are being asked to handle the case with Quadriga CX and all the money that it has, are refusing to have anything to do with the company because they claim they can't be sure the money that the company has been legally obtained.
Right, that's pretty damning.
It is pretty damning. So I want to know, not only your instinctive reactions to this, but also do you think there's something to the claim that Gerald Cotton faked his own death to get away with actually up to $200 million worth of cryptocurrency, including the $150 million of his client's money that they have the right to access but cannot access because it was privately held securely on his own computer that for some reason his wife, now widow, as the CEO of the same company, can't open even when hiring professionals to do it. Less than a year after the company was raided by Polish authorities for €400 million worth of laundered drug money.
It's an interesting one. What'll be more interesting is to know whether, because of course if he is alive, let's say, he wouldn't have access to that computer now anyway.
No.
So would those cold wallets have been transferred over to another machine? And so everyone thinks that they're on the one machine that they're supposedly on, but actually they're on another computer that he has access to.
Well, if they're held offline, but I suppose they could be held on a local area network. So all you need is another machine. And the passwords, the individual wallets all have their own passwords, which they claim he was the only person who knew the individual passwords for those wallets.
Yeah.
And they were encrypted. So in theory, yeah.
I like that idea. Going back to the bank analogy, it's kind of like when they finally get into his computer, it's like they swing open the vault doors and there's nothing inside.
Yep.
And then maybe he's just left a little note saying, like, see you later, suckers.
That kind of thing.
I like that idea. Although, obviously, it'll be far less dramatic than that. They just, finally get in.
Oh, there's nothing
zero.
There.
Okay.
Yeah, zero.
But yeah.
But then what about his wife, though? Do you think he's left her in the lurch? Maybe. If he has faked his death, does she know about it, or has she just been left holding all the keys?
I mean, another thing to note is that if there was a big shift in $150 million, even on the dark web of the black market, people would know, wouldn't they? they would know where that was coming from. You'd think that would be a seismic shift.
Yeah, and how does someone fake their own death these days? Like, I mean, I know there's the witness protection program and all that kind of thing, but like, it feels easier said than done, like you say, to just get away with $150 million, even if it's in like untraceable amounts. I guess he could just have his own island somewhere.
And I did watch All Time Tens have done a video on it recently about how to disappear completely.
Yeah.
Top 10 list. So if you haven't watched that, go over and check it out. It's good.
But
it's a lot harder to fake your death if you are a high profile, rich person, because of the amount of assets you have to move.
Mm.
And so I take it he has a lot of material wealth as well that he wouldn't want to just chuck away.
Yeah.
So actually faking your death, incredibly difficult. Even the logistics of disappearing as a person, as opposed to anything else.
Yeah.
Lucky though, if for his wife, obviously, that he drew up his will about a week before he died.
Yeah.
Fortunate timing.
Ooh. Fortunate timing. Suspicious timing as well, I'd say. Yeah. I'm not too familiar with the kind of like decline of Crohn's disease. If it's something that he could have seen coming, like his situation's deteriorating.
All I know is that the fatality rate is about 3%, and for a 30-year-old person to die from it is unusual.
Yes.
So he's a percentage of that percentage.
Of course.
You know, but obviously, like we say, the circumstances, we don't know what they were in India, what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, if you're going to fake your death, go to a 1.5, was it, billion population country with poor medical healthcare and just disappear.
It's all a bit shady. Do we know why he was in India at the time?
No, I don't actually. I assumed it was just a holiday.
Do you think if you were really ill and your condition was declining?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess some people try to do stuff when they're in that condition, but would you choose India?
I mean, I guess it depends where he could have been in, like, presumably a super fancy hotel or something.
Very true.
But yeah, I don't know. It's I think if you are on holiday at the time, then that's naturally, that's when you're going to fake your death, right? When you're abroad,
out
of the country, like you say, in a country with a massive population that you can just
disappear into.
Yeah. Not as much CCTV as in the UK.
Of course, I think it's worth raising the point that a lot of this theory has developed from the fact that cryptocurrencies are so unregulated. That even if he hasn't done anything illegal and he's genuinely died suddenly and unexpectedly, it's possible for all this stuff to have happened. Like this theory is perfectly legitimate because cryptocurrency companies are so unregulated that any of this could have happened. All the money could be dirty money. He could have absconded with all this cash in his cold wallet that only he has the passwords to.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible.
Yeah, no, it is. True.
So the one thing that I want to ask, which we haven't touched on, obviously he's faked his death with
obviously.
Yeah. Well, no, like assume if he has faked his death, it wasn't like he died from complications with Crohn's disease. It wasn't like he fell into like a volcano or something. Where's the body? Is my point. There's a body, presumably, right?
Presumably, there is a body. Yes, I think his funeral has been held.
How does one do that?
Well, then an autopsy doesn't have to have been held, carried out.
Not necessarily, or like there was a post mortem or something that they determined he died from complications with Crohn's disease. Presumably, for all of that to happen, there must have been a body, or he's paid off a lot of people.
That's it. Yeah,
possibly to say that it happened.
Follow the report.
Has Elon Musk sent any rockets up recently?
Any Tesla Roadsters out there?
From one CEO to another, do me a favor, guy.
Possibly. That kind of thing. When you get, it's nice to like think about, oh, maybe he faked his death.
Yeah.
But when I get into the logistics of how would he actually do that,
it seems unlikely. It
seems difficult. Not impossible. But yeah, like
someone's so high profile within that realm as well. Like we might not necessarily have known about him because we're not in that world.
Yeah.
But there'd be a lot of people that
like
that know his face, know his name.
Like someone
including like probably the FBI. And let's someone, be honest,
that's the true,
Polish authorities.
Yeah.
Someone would have to confirm that is him, right? The body. Probably, presumably his widow, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. Unless she was traveling with friends, she would have been flown over there, or the body would have been flown over here. So yeah, she's either in on it, or she's not, and it's all genuine, I guess. Yeah.
Or he just laid on a table behind the glass.
I mean, that's the thing. Like,
maybe.
That's the thing, though. It's like, there's a lot of unusual coincidences in this case.
Yeah.
But when we look into it, it's still like, you can, of course, you can legitimately die from a disease suddenly and unexpectedly and happen to write your will because you know you're unwell. It's like, that's not insane. It's just the position he's in with the cryptocurrency company, and then the Polish authorities, definitely that's what cast the doubt on the whole thing. But
yeah,
I don't know whether he's faked his own death, but he's certainly probably made provisions for when he does die, that the mean that the money's kept within his jurisdiction.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, he drew up his will days before he died, but left no provision for getting access to these accounts
that we know of. Yeah,
that we know of, which he knew he was the only person with access to.
Yep,
that's a really odd thing not to provide for.
Yes,
since it's also your job.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, I don't know. We're not that professional, but we try to make provisions for when we, for our absence.
How old is the company? Do we know, like, how long this has been going on for?
Good question. It's one of the more established ones, but I think it's still relatively recent.
And also, he was 30 years old, you said?
Yes.
I mean, like, even though he's the CEO, or he was the CEO, 30 years old, like, you like, those kind of things, you never expect to just die suddenly.
No.
So, you know, he only drew up his will a couple of, like, weeks before he died. Though that kind of provision, I guess, like, you wouldn't necessarily think about at that young age, kind of thing. Maybe.
I suppose,
You know, a 30-year-old doesn't think that they're going to die any day now.
Well, I do.
Do we know who these hackers are who are looking to get into his computer? Because I think that would be an interesting... If they work for the cryptocurrency company, they could be saying, oh, no, there's no access to this machine, when actually they do have access and are dealing with the money themselves because they don't want to give it back to the rightful owners.
Yeah, good point.
Password is password.
Yeah, exactly. But then a team of hackers can't get into this man's laptop.
Yeah,
computer.
This guy was either a really great hacker himself, or
I mean, I understand you would have had the best encryption possible in order to secure that money. Of course, you would.
Yeah.
But you think teams and teams of hackers, someone's got it. What about the person who set up the encryption? I take it he didn't set it up himself. What about the person who set up the encryption in the first place? Surely they have the ability to access it. So maybe it could be a cover that actually they do have access, but they don't want investors to know they have access because of the fluctuating cryptocurrency market. Maybe everyone would pull out and the company would lose millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, but that might be more plausible. Like, if there is a conspiracy here, it's purely the people who are running the company trying to mitigate the disaster of the fallout of all their investors taking all their money at the same time that they're in trouble with the Canadian and European courts
for having
money that's potentially dirty. And the last thing you want is to have no money to pay off the courts, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So,
I mean, that's another question as well, actually. Do we know for sure that this money they actually have? Could they have, like, artificially inflated their own company's worth and, like, just be carrying out major fraud? And actually, if all their investors tried to withdraw their money, they'd find they actually didn't have $150 million.
Like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe. Yeah. God, it's all very fishy. I forgot to mention as well that they already had some assets frozen before he died because of the investigation into the dirty money, which is just, like, so what little money they do have access to, they don't actually have access to it because it's been frozen by the banks.
I mean,
so it's just like, what's going on?
It's true, though, isn't it, that a lot of it's there. I don't think they're alone in especially certain national government crackdown on cryptocurrency companies and people investing in them. Like, I think I'm sure that there's a whole load of other companies that have also had their assets frozen while they investigate who's actually investing and where the money's going. I don't think they're alone in that, I'm sure. But it's just the interesting thing is the timing of it all in relation to his death.
It's all happened up in the last year or so.
Yeah.
Of course, something that nobody's explored yet, I don't think, is given the International Monetary Fund and a few dozen countries around the world have, around the same time that he died, announced their intention to move into cryptocurrencies to create regulated cryptocurrencies.
Well, that's it's also bizarre, isn't it?
Including Canada, by the way.
Yeah.
One of the countries that said they want to do that. Maybe he's the first victim of a coordinated governmental attempt to get rid of the private cryptocurrency companies.
Perhaps.
The Crohn's disease thing was a bit fishy, so maybe he didn't fake his own death.
Maybe he was murdered.
Maybe.
Ooh.
Always found it odd how national governments say, oh, we're getting into the cryptocurrency business. It's almost like the whole point of cryptocurrencies is the fact that it is unregulated.
Yeah.
You can't track it and it's decentralized.
Yeah.
It's like centralized government saying we're going to get into the cryptocurrency market. Like, who would get behind that? Which citizens would get behind that? It doesn't make any sense. The people that use cryptocurrencies do it for that particular reason, or they're people that have jumped on a bandwagon thinking they can make a little bit of money.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be either the pals club, like politicians and their mates getting in on their own regulated cryptocurrency and benefiting from that, or it's going to be ordinary Joes who wouldn't normally go into cryptocurrency, in which case everybody's going to have it and it's going to be so devalued it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Well, let's talk about AI.
Well, thank you for that discussion, Robin.
Thank you.
That was really interesting. So, I wanted to talk about a website called thispersondoesnotexist.com, I believe.
But if you want to visit.
Yeah, if you want to visit. Yeah, .com. And it was basically, it was made by a 33-year-old software engineer called Philip Wang, who basically made this website using an algorithm known as a generative adversarial network, which is originally coded by NVIDIA.
Coded by NVIDIA?
Yeah, and it renders hyper-realistic portraits of people who are completely fake. They don't exist at all. Right. And you can just keep refreshing the page and new people keep coming up.
Wow.
And none of them exist. They don't exist.
Yeah.
And 99% of the time, they look like just regular, ordinary people. 1% of the time, something's a bit iffy.
You do not exist.
There's a kind of, Uncanny Valley look about them. But it's so creepy how many of them just look like regular people. And it's, that's basically it. But go and check it out. And it's really weird. But he said that the website was designed to call attention to AI's ever-increasing power to present real images that are completely artificial. And he says that the stunt has ramifications that spread far beyond just this website. He says...
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Sorry. Okay. So he says that in a world where pictures and videos are kind of the standard for proof and evidence, CCTV and all that is used in court cases and, images and video, if you can see it, then see it and believe it kind of thing, isn't it? But he's saying that society is now transitioning to a period where pictures and video aren't necessarily evidence of something. It could easily be faked, and you kind of already got that with Photoshop. People can Photoshop you doing anything pretty much, but we're now kind of approaching more complicated software that can do that kind of thing. You've got deep fakes and that kind of thing where you can put people's faces on other people's bodies and get them and have them do whatever, basically. And you've also got, did you hear about that piece of Adobe software? I think they've got demonstrations of it now, where if you talk, I think it's 20 words into the microphone,
No way.
And then the software, you can type out whatever and it will have it say whatever you want in your, like, in your voice, in your exact intonation.
Wow. So if you, so secret recordings of someone would be useless then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you can make, you could have
made it up.
You could have made it up, exactly.
Wow.
And that's something that, you know, they've got demonstrations of. So it, the technology is already there today, pretty much. Yeah. And he said that this kind of website was to kind of shock people into realizing the potential for AI in the future. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the website's based on this NVIDIA StyleGAN algorithm. And basically what it does is there's a generator and a discriminator. And basically the generator is given fed real images, which I guess is real images of people.
Yeah.
And then it tries to create it, while the discriminator tries to work out what's fake and what's real.
Okay.
So when he pits them against each other, it creates this extremely complicated like program where the ones that don't get discovered as fake are the ones that are fed through, so they look so good, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why they look so real.
So it doesn't look like an EFIT police match. You know, you sometimes see the terrible EFIT stuff online, police drawings. Yeah, exactly. Just ridiculous.
So that's...
That was my that's scary, because I was about to say it's fine because they can create a piece of software that will be able to tell if it's fake or not. But already, as part of the program, there's a software that detects the fakes, and it's only the ones that get past it get through.
And when you pit them against each other, then the fake images get even more complicated and even more convincing. So it's like AI going against each other and improving itself, which is what AI is, I guess. It's improving it every iteration.
So could you get a situation here where someone commits a crime, which is caught on CCTV, then they pay off whoever's recorded the CCTV to get hold of that footage and put a completely fake face that doesn't even a person that doesn't even exist,
possibly,
onto it and pin the crime on a fake person?
Definitely. Mm. I think that's a scary possibility for the future, and it's kind of we don't know what's real and what's not anymore.
Yeah. I mean, in the immediate future, the potential for scammers and organized crime criminals to use this kind of software just purely to commit all kinds of crime online.
Mm.
Right, there's all kinds of stuff they could do with this identity theft, but it's not identity theft because you're creating false identities.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just astonishing what they could do online now. But like you say, in the future, once we've reached the point of singularity in 2050 and AI can think for itself, what kind of uses could they put this to?
Exactly. And think about like catfishing and stuff, like you can tell when someone's fake because you can like reverse search the Google image. But you can't do that with this. This person's never existed before and they don't exist. So you could like, you know, catfish person with someone whose face has never been around before. So it's that's
But then what happens if they accidentally create a face that actually is someone's face?
Which will happen.
That will happen,
I'm sure like they'll create they'll create faces that will look, you know, everyone has a doppelganger anyway, don't they? Probably.
Yes.
You ever found yours?
No.
No.
Although I have been mistaken.
For my doppelganger.
I remember one time my mother-in-law was driving down the high street and there was someone that looked a lot like me holding another girl's hand. She was like, what is going on? And then luckily she saw their face and it wasn't, but apparently they looked very much like me. I've never seen this person, but...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was
That's really funny.
That's strange. But yeah, he says that while the software is capable of creating still images of people who never existed, it's only a couple of steps before like they can make like videos of like fake people who have never existed saying whatever they want.
That's true.
Coupled with software that can just match anyone's voice. You know, we could just have a fake Robin.
Yeah, I never need to work again.
Or maybe Robin is fake and we've done this already.
I mean, people have often said in the YouTube comments that they think I'm a robot voice.
Yeah, true.
On the narration.
Get this robot voice off,
Although, on the plus side, with this software, video games are going to look amazing.
True.
It's true, yeah.
Just to say, in a couple of years' time, we're going to have properly photo real games.
Yeah.
I mean, we've always said that, though, haven't we? Like, I remember...
Every year.
I remember when, like, the Xbox 360 came out, and I was like, oh my gosh, everything looks so real.
I remember GoldenEye 64 coming out, and me being like, that is definitely Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. His giant square head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad Pierce Brosnan. No. But it's obviously...
clearly not Pierce Brosnan. I was like, that's him.
8 pixels Pierce Brosnan.
That's him. Yeah. I think that's because that was the first time that they actually layered over, or one of the first times they layered over actual images of actors onto the face, didn't they? But just really badly.
Oh, right. Oh, they like stretched the face over.
Stretched around the, so the ears like up here.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, it's kind of scary. Go over to the website and check it out, because it's scary how real they look, the people, and they're all fake. It's weird. Yeah. And it's kind of the scary implications of where AI is going to lead us. Like you say, in 2050, when we hit the singularity, what's going to, I don't know, what's going to happen? It's going to be mad.
It is going to be totally mad. Mm. But I'm glad you raised this, because I hadn't heard of this. And it's exciting and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an advert. I can't remember the advert. It's four. But there's an advert on, I think it's the radio, actually. I often listen to the radio. But there's two voices, and they go, one of me, this is me speaking, and this is AI. And then it says, actually, the first one's AI. And so, like, it just messes with you a little bit.
Yeah, that's so weird.
But they sound, like, practically identical.
Yeah, that's
it's
really
amazing
weird.
How they can just replicate a voice from machine learning. And they're replicating the face. Put them both together, and you can make whatever you like, yeah.
I mean, it would be a lot easier for work, wouldn't it, if we're doing a voiceover. And I don't have to get you to do a voiceover. You can just, I can just type out
the words,
and then you just say it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Make everyone's life easier. Yeah.
To be honest, I know I enjoyed doing the voiceovers. It's probably the most enjoyable part of the job.
But think about, like, I mean, if anyone listens to audiobooks, imagine, would that be a feature on...
Sorry, Stephen Fry.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Would that be a feature where you could just choose who reads your book?
Yeah.
Like out of any celebrity in the world that you want.
Like a sat nav.
Yeah, exactly. Just have anyone read your book and perfect kind of Stephen Fry or...
I mean, it surely would sound a little bit robotic, just because it would still be piecemealing words together. Unless you've got a huge database.
Honestly, it sounds really good.
Really?
I've had a listen to the demonstration that Adobe gave, and yeah, it sounds... You wouldn't be able to tell the difference kind of thing. It's really weird. Yeah, so that was my news story.
That was really interesting.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Thank you.
Shall we discuss some YouTube comments? See what our viewers have been saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, I've got one actually related to, kind of tangentially related to what we were just talking about.
Okay.
From the last podcast, last week, when our friend Dave was on, filling in for me.
Mr. David.
Did a great job. Thank you, Dave. But Chris Devour says... related to that last question, which I guess is the quiz in the podcast, are you guys playing any video games? And if so, which ones?
Oh, so great question.
Question for you two.
Yes, we've played a video. We've all played a video game. We played Apex Legends together, didn't we?
Yeah. I haven't played for a while though. So I need to get back into it.
Played a little bit. Still not great. It is quite tough. I get the feeling that there's a lot of, because I haven't played many first person shooters since the Call of Duty on the PC, like the original Call of Duty 1 and 2. So I haven't done it for a while, so I'm slowly getting there.
Yeah.
But yes, Apex Legends has been the one. I also recently downloaded the PS Plus of Hitman. HD 2016 Hitman. So
yeah. Those, need to play that.
Those are the two at the moment. I know the all-time gaming guys have also lent me Resident Evil 7.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. But
not brave enough to try that.
Can't really play that with the baby around. or my wife for that reason,
because you'll scream too loudly.
Exactly. Yep. I'll be crying in front of her. So.
The baby won't know the difference. It's fine.
What about you?
Yeah, we've played some Apex Legends.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
I need to get back into it. I haven't played for a while. I'm scared I'm going to go back to it and everyone's going to become professional. Already like super good at it. And
tell you what, Alex. Yeah. Let's play this evening.
Okay.
Have a game this evening. Are you free this evening?
Sure. I think so.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Robin, do you want to join? Or
yeah, actually, I would like to join in, okay. Because even though I was on holiday last week, I didn't get any video gaming in at all.
I feel like we've been sponsored by Apex Legends. Yeah, suddenly.
It's the game, it's the game available. Of the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So ERM commented on Mystery Broadcast That Were Never Solved, saying, if you're looking for fame, try hijacking a radio station. It's simple and you would be on YouTube like forever. So... I think he's referring to the Max Headroom incident.
Right.
If we did something like that...
We would be on YouTube forever.
We'd be like... Yeah, we'd get super famous. So maybe we should hack into a TV network or radio broadcast.
Well, now you've said that, we can't do that.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
The issue is that it has to be... It's fame, but it's anonymous fame, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's true. As in...
It's infamy.
These ones are infamous because they're still mysteries. If you get caught... The mystery goes, the mystery dies. So it's fame, but without being famous, isn't it, really?
Okay, I'm just throwing out suggestions.
Unless it's
such a pseudonym.
Yeah. It could be such a spectacular prank that even if you get caught, you remain famous. It's like, he's the guy who did that thing.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, true. True.
Okay. Akihap Cap, I've probably definitely pronounced that wrong, says, Robin is not there. What did you do to him? Kidding, lol, but actually, you know.
Where is he?
Was this on last week's podcast?
It was, yes. Yeah. People missed you, man.
They do, when you're not there. All the comments. Well, about where is Robin? Is he tied up? What have you done with him?
Yes, I was tied up in the basement.
But you were allowed to play Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I was allowed to play with my tied up hands. No, I missed you guys too. It's always nice to read the comments. It's nice to have your feedback. I know that not everyone is a fan of me, but I'm sorry for those of you who don't like me.
They just can't handle you, Robin.
But no, it's nice to be back.
Yeah,
I think when you weren't here, Robin, people say, who are those two bearded twats? I think that gets banded around a fair amount. So,
and we're not twins.
I did see a comment
we're not
about...
not twins.
Yeah, people seem to think you're twins.
But we are twats, so I think one bit right.
Yeah, I can confirm that they are not twins. Unless I'm lying.
Possibly.
Also, a deep fake. The beard quotient was pretty high last week.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw a comment about Muslim beards.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean... whatever.
On that note, should we do a quiz?
Let's do a quiz,
So, we're ready for a quiz?
Yes.
10 questions and one bonus question if you're tied after the 10, as usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I hear your buzzers?
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Okay.
Robin, buzzer.
My buzzer is the standard now.
Yeah,
that's
classic Robin. Nice. One time, Robin, I'm definitely going to get you to do an impersonation of that Wilhelm scream. So you better get practicing.
I can't promise anything.
Well, it might be terrible, but you're going to have to do it. And Alex?
I've gone for in honor of him returning to our screens this week, I've gone for the... Alan Partridge.
You may be at a slight advantage this week because there is a question related to that, as I am a big fan. You both seen it?
No.
Oh, well, lucky Robin. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can quickly catch up now if you like.
Yeah, just watch it. It's only half an hour. Just quickly watch now. Yeah.
Okay. Let's get started.
All right, then.
So, question number one.
Yeah. Okay.
Firefighters in the town of Wöhl in Western Germany tackled an unusual emergency late on Monday. What were they tackling?
Was it a rat stuck in a drain? Was that it?
No.
Oh, I saw a video. I thought... Yeah,
That is a different challenge. I didn't hear about that one, but it's not this one.
Okay.
This is a pure guess. I haven't heard anything about this, but was there a bear in a drain?
There was not a bear in a drain.
In a drain.
Well, that's unusual.
That's fine.
No, it was in fact a liquid chocolate spillage.
Went
all the way down the street and then solidified, and they had to spend hours trying to get it to drill off the pavement.
That sounds like the best day at work ever.
Yeah, it does. Also
the worst day.
Mm. Imagine being in that town and just like looking out the window and watching
Imagine watching
the river of chocolate.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also, a spill. Who delivers liquid chocolate to anybody? What?
Yeah, I mean, good point. But yeah,
all I
can think of is the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Augustus Gloop,
yeah,
falling in the chocolate river and then getting sucked at the pipe. So
I was trying to think of like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory pun or something that
what
they would have used as the headline for that new story.
What could they have used?
But it would have been in German too. So
might not have translated.
That sounds so wonderfully weird and difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, just imagine being a witness and you can smell all the chocolate flowing and you're like, no, I can't eat it because it's on the ground.
Yeah.
And then the firefighters have to,
How do they do it?
3-hour rule? How do they do it? I think it took quite a lot of heavy machinery to actually
like,
to clear it up.
Oh, like drills.
I think so. I think it solidified.
Yeah.
Well, I'm feeling that was the case.
Yeah.
And then they have to basically scrape it up off the pavement.
I can see it. Come 2080, you'll have Grandpa saying like, I remember the day there was a river of chocolate.
And then the chocolate came.
Oh, question number uno dos.
Dos.
Okay. Numero dos.
Or deux, if you're French. we're talking video games. What was the best-selling video game of 2018?
I think you're the second
just made head. It, I think, Alex.
Was it Red Dead Redemption 2?
It was not.
Oh, really? Oh, wow, okay.
Interesting.
Best selling of 2018.
How are we doing this? Because is it number of copies installed?
Yes.
Because it... Did Fortnite come out last year? Or was that the year before? From your face, I'm guessing that's not the answer. But I was thinking, because just think about like purchase.
That was kind of a half guess there. You kind of floated the idea to see what would happen, what the reaction would be.
My guess was going to be Red Dead 2. I'm surprised that isn't the best selling game.
Yeah, I'm really surprised as well.
What would be the best selling game last year?
Indeed.
But yeah, something like, I thought maybe something like Fortnite because it's free to play, so everybody would install it at least, right?
Yeah.
But then is that best selling because nobody's actually buying it?
Can I have another guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
You may.
Would it be God of War?
No.
Oh, I thought I'd go for
last year, wasn't it?
Game of the Year.
Oh,
it was Game of the Year last year. Can I have a point for that?
No, you can't, unfortunately.
It feels like a long time ago.
You get
God of War.
Points for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
And you can both have another guess?
It's going to be a Switch game, isn't it? And I think it's going to be...
maybe.
I think it's going to be... Oh, Breath of the Wild was the year before, wasn't it? Switch launched with Breath of the Wild, didn't it?
It's up to you, whatever. Whatever, man, go for it.
I can't. Problem is, dates, video game dates get so confused in my mind because I don't play them when they come out. I'm going to say it was Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild, I think, was 2017.
It was 2017 because it came out before Super Mario Odyssey, which I played in Christmas 2017. So, sorry.
I've already had two guesses.
Already had
so
two.
I don't think I should have another one. I don't want to be accused of cheating.
What was the best-selling game?
So according to my research,
because
now you said Red Dead Redemption, I'm doubting it, Black Ops 4.
Oh, really? Really? Wow.
Huh.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense, but weird.
I'm going to quickly double-check that.
Yeah.
Just do a quick fact-check.
Because I thought the whole pattern of the Call of Duty games was the sales were declining every time.
Yeah.
So I'm glad for them, but also I guess that speaks to the fact that Call of Duty is such a kind of institution, such
it's
a
massive.
Standard thing that everybody plays, that nobody really, at least to me anyway, it didn't register at all that was a massive game.
Yeah.
Because nobody's talking about it. They're just like, oh yeah, it's the new COD, and everybody plays it.
Yeah. So yeah, no, rank number one, Black Ops 4, Red Dead Redemption number 2, number 3, NBA 2K19,
oh. I never would have guessed
Far Cry 5.
Far Cry 5. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Good for them. I didn't realize they sold that well.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Crazy, right?
Fair enough, yeah.
Okay. Question number 3.
Wow.
Okay. We're not doing so well. We don't have any
points. No points.
It's nil-nil so far.
Okay.
You might get this one.
Nah.
You might do. This week, a study by the University of Kent in England, that's where I'm from, concluded that those believing in conspiracies were more likely to engage in what activity?
Oh. Likely to engage in what activity? What do we do?
Activity is such a broad term. It could apply to it.
I know, purposefully.
Yeah. Is it make YouTube videos?
It's not make YouTube videos.
Okay, fair enough. Likely to do what? Is this? No, I don't even want to. Don't even want to ask for a clue yet. I'm going to wait for Robin.
Yeah,
to have
one guess each, and then have a clue.
So I'm trying to think of the most logical thing.
I mean, don't incriminate yourself as well, Robert.
That's the other thing I'm trying to say. Say something that doesn't give myself away.
Burying the bodies under the floorboard.
Wait, I feel like I should know this. But I didn't see this. This is new this week, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to guess this. I'll just...
I've been away. I've been locked in the basement.
I will stab in the dark and say not vote.
No. Okay, I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
It is a negative activity.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
Yeah.
is it like spreading fake news?
No.
Oh.
Good guess. That's something the mainstream media would say.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of... I'm thinking, what would the focus of the study be? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not bad-mouthing conspiracy theorists.
Be prejudiced?
No. The answer is low-level crime. Be involved in low-level crime.
Oh, come on.
And now this, surely, haven't given any stats about what percentage more likely.
Yeah.
It seems
like
a little bit of a smear against the community. Yeah. But the idea behind their study, or the thought, was that those who are distrusting of authority are more likely to disregard it and then be involved in low-level crime like shoplifting, etc.
I mean, sure.
What are your thoughts? It's controversial, right?
I don't know. That sounds like it. That sounds like one of those studies that the sample they took confirmed that. But like you say, if there's no statistic on the difference between those who believed in conspiracy theories committing low-level crime versus those who didn't believe in conspiracy theories committing low-level crime, then I wouldn't be surprised if it was like 1 or 0.5% difference.
That's it. No stats. They haven't even given the sample size. I looked at like 4 different articles about this, and it's basically just saying the same thing, the headline, and then what their findings are without any kind of basis.
Yeah. It's also, I wonder how meaningful that is, because you might as well say those who don't believe in conspiracy theories are more likely to commit high-level crime.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, so does that mean if you don't believe in conspiracy theories, we should suspect you as a murderer?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, what's...
Yeah. Yeah, and also, bizarre. Yeah. I thought I'd bring it up because I think it caused some kind of reaction.
Yeah.
It's also what makes someone like a conspiracy theorist, and that, like,
well,
I think
that's it,
I feel
it?
Like everyone like has some kind of conspiracy that they
believe in the article as well. It was what they did mention was the fact that there's no difference between people of high economic status, people of different ages, different genders, ethnicities. It doesn't make any difference in terms of what people believe. Most people believe in at least something that can be considered a conspiracy, whether that's something historical like Northwoods, like we've spoken about before, where there's like definitive proof, or whether it's that we've contacted aliens. There doesn't seem to be that many trends in terms of who believes in this stuff, which is quite interesting.
We've spoken about this before, and I've expressed my frustration at the abuse of the term conspiracy theory in the media at large and in scientific studies, where it doesn't mean the work that scientists are doing is not worthy. It just means that saying, oh, conspiracy theorists are more likely to do this, it's just like, well, there's completely different types of conspiracy theorists.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've
spoken
about it before.
Yeah. Useless term. Massively.
Yeah. It's also, I was going to say, you reminded me, let's combine that with the statistic that I think, as of the latest study, 61% of Americans believe in a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I'm so surprised, like, it's not even higher. Yeah,
if 2/3 of the population believe in a conspiracy theory, they are more likely to commit a low-level crime.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
But I'd be interested to see what the actual raw data was, but I couldn't find it.
As bad as saying half the population are likely to be a woman.
exactly.
You know.
After a three-year, $20 million study.
Yeah.
We have concluded.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Still nil-nil.
Still nil-nil. Okay. Someone will get this one. Someone will get this one. So fastest buzzer,
fastest finger first. This is the Alan Partridge question.
It's not yet. On YouTube, there is a fight for the top subscriber spot between PewDiePie and T-Series, you know, the Indian music channel.
Okay. Yes.
Who currently is winning?
Yeah,
literally just gonna guess this one. PewDiePie,
he is winning.
Darn it!
He's got 87,331,200 versus T-Series 87,241,985. So very close, but he is just pimping it.
goatee series.
See, the trick is, Robin, you've got to have a really quick buzzer.
I think my buzzer is too slow.
You need to buzzer halfway through the video. Well done, Alex. Yeah, correct. Okay, number five.
Oh, no.
Who has the bigger balls? No laugh.
Just stand silent.
I was expecting a bit of a giggle. Yeah, fine. Carry on.
Come on, Martin. You're better.
I laughed.
That.
10-pin bowlers or volleyball players?
Volleyball players.
No, I'm wrong.
Is it 10-pin bowlers?
It's 10-pin bowlers.
I was going to say bowling, and I thought it was a trick. So with
these ones, I think there's two options. I should probably give you both a chance to answer so you can at least tie or make the win.
Yeah, maybe. But we couldn't do that time. I definitely got the point for that. I was going to say 10-pin bowling.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, good. Yeah, sure.
It's all right. It's all right.
Okay, that's 2-0. And this next question might be slightly... It's number six. Alan Partridge returned to our screens this week. He mistakenly introduced a guest on the show as Alice Clunt. What was Alice's actual surname?
Fluck. I see what I've done there.
I see what I've done there. Yes, he introduced her as Alice Clunt when her name was actually Alice Fluck.
Oh, dear.
That bit made me cry with laughter. Yeah, it was so good.
Oh, I see what I've done there.
3-0, Alex. Robin.
I'm not coming back from this. Yeah.
Well, you can do.
You can do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Who is older? Bill Clinton or Donald Trump?
Bill Clinton.
Alex?
I'm going to say Bill Clinton as well.
What?
I said from now on, I'm going to do them both at the same time. Yeah. It is actually Donald Trump.
Is it?
They're both 72, but Clinton was born in August, whereas Trump was born in June.
Okay. Fair enough.
So a few months between them.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how Clinton was president so much younger.
Sorry. Mm.
What's the answer to that, Robin? Yeah.
So it remains 3-0.
Okay.
Question eight.
You've got to get all of them right. Yep. It's not going to happen. Oh, dear.
Nurses in Naples went to what extreme lengths to get transferred to less demanding jobs?
To what lengths they go?
Yes. What length did they go to get transferred to less demanding jobs?
Did they break their limbs?
They didn't break their limbs.
Oh,
wow. Do they... this is going to sound really sexist now, but do they, like, sleep around, you know?
Jesus, Alex.
Oh, where did that come from?
I don't know. That was just... Oh, gosh. Okay, yeah, I've dug myself.
Never hire you in a hospital. Yeah.
We'll cut that. that's a joke, by the way. Okay. No, they didn't. They actually... Do you want another guess?
Yeah. I mean, can we have a little clue?
A clue is they release something into the wards. Quite a big clue.
Oh.
Just, what did they release into the wards?
Whoa.
I think it's supposedly. It's still an investigation ongoing.
I know this is wrong, but smallpox.
Jesus. Wow. No, fortunately, it wasn't smallpox. Okay.
I think with that, I've clawed myself my way out of the hole. I think releasing smallpox into the wards probably worse. Did they release livestock?
No, they didn't.
Oh.
They supposedly released cockroaches into the ward.
Ew.
So they could be transferred. So we get closed down, they could be transferred to less demanding jobs. Isn't that crazy?
That's really bad.
Yeah, it's disgusting, really. Isn't
just call in sick. Just call in sick.
Just say I want to do something easier. Not enough resource.
Well, I suppose if they tried to try and get transferred and got refused every time, then desperate times, desperate measures.
Yeah, but I mean, your duty of care, though.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a less demanding job. You're fired.
Yes, exactly. Don't do anything now. Yeah. Right, question nine. Maths question.
Okay.
What is 2.7 plus
3.014?
2.7
plus 3.014. 5.84?
Incorrect.
Wait. What were the numbers again, sorry?
2.7 plus 3.014.
Oh, 0.14.
5.714. 1-4.
Correct.
I missed the zero.
Yeah. I thought the pressure would get you. That was actually a key stage 2 maths question. So that's aimed at 10-year-olds.
Well, you know, it'll be fine if it was written down.
Yeah, I was saying, we're written down.
I know, I imagine it's different.
Yeah.
It's different. I know. Anyway, well done, Alex.
I've definitely embarrassingly lost this one.
4-0. No, it's 4-0.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Question 10, final question. Apart from the bonus question, which you might not want to do, Robin. question 10. What is the hottest country in the world by average temperature?
Ooh.
Is it Kuwait?
Not what I've got written down.
Okay, that's fine. It seems like a random guess, but I remember when I was on holiday one time in Spain, there was a TV in the hotel room and it only accessed the Weather Channel. And it would just do this global weather thing where it would go around.
Yeah.
And we were always just like, oh, look at the weather in Kuwait.
An educated always. Guess. I like
so
it.
That was kind of my thinking.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. Makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'd tell.
I mean, it'd be a wild guess.
I'll do a wild guess and then I'll give a clue.
By average temperature, because that will include nighttime as well, right? So like in the Sudan, for example, it's blazing hot in the day, but it's freezing at night. So it might drag it down a bit.
Okay, average peak temperature. Let's go for that.
Isn't that the same problem? Sorry, I'm just trying to think around the question here. I don't know, to be honest.
I've just got something written down, all right?
I bet it's not obvious. I bet it's not that obvious. Let's go Saudi Arabia.
Not Saudi Arabia. Okay.
Are we in the right area? That kind of...
Not too far off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay. Clue. There has been a pretty significant conflict there in the last 10 years.
Uh-huh. Oh. I thought it was going to relate to a news story that we might be possibly discussing at some point. I thought that's what you were going to say. No, go for it. Have a guess.
Syria?
It's not Syria.
Iraq?
No. Okay. One more guess each. Let's get this point done. Another conflict. A little bit older than Syria, but not that much older, around the same time.
Afghanistan?
Not Afghanistan. More recent.
What wars have been going on?
You're missing one.
Yemen's more recent, right?
Yeah, but it's not Yemen. Okay, it's actually Libya.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Where in 1922 there was a peak temperature of 57.8 degrees.
57.8
degrees?
Whoa. Isn't that mad?
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, hot country. Mad. Hot country. Libya.
That's basically like Libya. That is an oven temperature.
That's crazy. A cool oven.
Yeah, that's a cool oven.
You'd be cooking for hours.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the bonus question? Finish us
off? Why not?
Which country has the longest coastline in the world?
Is it Canada?
It is Canada.
Oh, yay!
Okay, you got
the question that doesn't mean anything. 202,080 kilometers.
Wow. Coastline.
Every once in a while, I'll get a point.
And that was the deciding question. Well done, Robin.
well done, Alex.
Wiped the floor.
One of the questions was unfair because I have seen Alan Partridge.
Yeah,
I mean,
at the same time, it is your fault, Robin, for not watching it yet.
My fault, also for not reading the news. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then also let's dissect those answers I got right there. So one of them was 50-50 that I guessed. The other one was 50-50 that you guessed and got wrong, so I naturally got the question right. One of them was because I've seen a TV program that you haven't seen.
Should have watched
it. Really,
should have guessed earlier.
So really,
got a
it was
buzzer.
Pretty much a draw, wasn't it?
That's very kind of you to say that. But no,
the thing is with quizzes, some of it is fastest finger first, and you know we all know this. Okay, true, yeah. You've been told.
The PewDiePie one, I knew, and it was purely a buzzer thing. Yeah. So well done. Well done for getting the buzzer ahead
Thank
of
you.
Me.
Yeah,
well, it was just purely a thing.
Well done for picking her faster.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Very good. Yeah. It's fine.
It's fine, actually.
No, thank you for that quiz, Martin.
No worries.
I'll try not to embarrass myself again in future. Something's gone on with this boy. He's been drinking something in the mornings. I don't know.
I've realised buzzers are key. Getting
just
a fast
winning
buzzer.
All the quizzes this year. But how do you guys do at home? Please let us know if you were playing along with a quiz, what score you got. And no cheating. And if any of you got higher than 0, I'm not going to be very happy. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Very good.
As always, thanks for watching. And you can find this podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Audioboom, with links to lots of other platforms there.
Yeah, they know that. They've just listened to it.
They've listened to it. That's true. And as always, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September. I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.